Will the members please register their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the quorum.
36 present, 4 absent.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Meekin and Elias are excused from the call to the House today. I'll ask unanimous consent that other absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I'm actually here even though I'm not registering.
Clerk, please note the presence of Representative Gardner in the chambers. Our chaplain scheduled for today has not arrived at the chambers, and I'd like to ask Representative Greening to lead the House in prayer.
Father, we just pray today that you'll give us the wisdom and endurance and persistence to make it through the ending days of this session. Father, as we approach the wire and there are important issues that still remain to be resolved, we just ask you to give us the patience and the wisdom to do what's best for all Alaskans. We pray in your son's name. Amen.
Representative Urien. Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Will the clerk please certify as to the correctness of the Daily Journal?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 96th, the 97th, and the 98th days.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that this body approve the journal as certified by the chief clerk for the 96th through 98th days.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction to the chambers? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In gallery, I think A and B, I've got guests from the village of Nustuira. And on the list here, I have a statement that says, "The future of our culture is in the hands of our children." And these young people, I'm very proud of. They're good kids, and we certainly hope they're going to enjoy their stay in Juneau. I'll ask the kids to stand, and we withhold our applause until all the students are introduced. I'd like to introduce to the House Billy Akuak, Elena Blunka. Would you please stand as your names are called? Charlie Chakwak, Sally Chunak, Ilya Gumlichbak, Mary Gust, Gusty Hansen, Wesley Hansen Jr., Freddie Nikita, Jackie Nikita, Louise Nikita, Peter Yaluk, Bobby Pavla, Sergey Pavla, Natalia Wanhola, and their chaperones are Kathy Cooper and Nels Nichols.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Eliason has some constituents in the gallery today. Mr. Eliason, as we know, is out of town, is excused from the call to the House, so it's my pleasure today to introduce people from the A&B Education Program over from Sitka. Again, I'll ask the guests to stand and withhold our applause. Students include David Shorty and Francis Brown, Beverly Austin, Ricky Payton, Elaine Hatmaker, Jackie Rucka, Loretta Thomas, David Burns, chaperones Lawrence Paul and Linnea Newman.
Representative Nakak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me great pleasure to introduce a personal friend of mine and down from Nome to work and visit and maybe play. The original architect of the native, the Alaska Native Arts and Crafts Silver Hand, Ms. Lynn Chambers in Gallery B.
Representative Osterbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a pleasure to introduce one of my constituents sitting in Gallery B with my wife, my sister-in-law. She'd been just over visiting her mother in the Pioneers home in Sitka, and her mother is 94 years old and still going strong. And she's in Gallery B, Matty Osterbeck.
Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, it gives me pleasure to introduce in Gallery B a friend, a person who's been very active in Democratic politics and also in public affairs, and currently director of the Cook Inlet Native Association, Alex Shadura.
Further guests for introduction. If not, are there any messages from the governor?
Dear Mr. Speaker, I have signed the following and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 60, requesting the federal government to remove solid waste on land in Alaska in accordance with the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act, Public Law 94-580, Legislative Resolve Number 18. Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 644, making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Health and Social Services, Medicaid Miscellaneous, General Relief Medical, and Handicapped Children, and providing for an effective date, Chapter 28, SLA 1978. Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 266, relating to the creation of an Alternative Power Resource Revolving Loan Fund, Chapter 29, SLA 1978. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 717, Conference Committee, making a supplemental appropriation for salaries and operating expenses of the University of Alaska and providing for an effective date, Chapter 30, SLA 1978. House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 773, making a special appropriation to the Department of Fish and Game, Division of Commercial Fisheries, and providing for an effective date, Chapter 31, SLA 1978. House Bill Number 849, amended, relating to group disability insurance and providing for an effective date, Chapter 32, SLA 1978. House Bill Number 619, making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Labor for vocational rehabilitation and pump station number 8 injury and providing for an effective date, Chapter 33, SLA 1978. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. There's also a list of additional appointments to boards and commissions to be confirmed. This letter has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. Excuse me. I have no further messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has adopted the following citations and they are returned. Commending the Sitka High School Wolves, congratulating Alaska's young athletes, commending Edward Rader, congratulating Susan D. Merrick. These citations have been sent to Legislative Affairs for enrolling. The Senate has adopted the following citation and it is transmitted for consideration. In memoriam, Ardelcy M. Stone King, by Senator Croft. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted herewith for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 88 by the Rules Committee by request, directing the Legislative Council to accomplish a substantive revision of the alcoholic beverage laws.
Refer to the Finance Committee.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 91 by the State Affairs Committee, relating to a 30th Avenue bypass in Fairbanks.
Refer to State Affairs, Finance.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 94 by the State Affairs Committee, relating to the movement of the Division of Highways Laboratory from Fairbanks.
State Affairs and Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
There's a citation from Frank Homan, Chairman of the Retirement Board, submitting under Chapter 130 SLA 1977, the Legislative Board of Retirement Benefits recommendations and analysis of bills affecting state retirement systems. This will be printed in the supplement. A communication has been received from Julius Shiskin, Commissioner of the U.S. Department of Labor, regarding House Resolution Number 17, size of food stamp allotments in the rural areas of Alaska. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. A communication was received from Terrence L. Bracey, Assistant Secretary for Governmental Affairs Office of the Secretary of Transportation, transmitting a report of a nationwide poll to find out what Americans think about transportation systems today. The letter will be printed in the journal. The report is on file in the Speaker's office. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Resources has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 525 relating to the inspection of fisheries products by the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Agriculture, under consideration. A majority of the committee reports it back without recommendation. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Malone, Snyder, Smith, Urien, Akers, Bennett, and Osterbach. Mr. Miller signed due pass. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 525 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Concurrent Resolution 101 relating to employee-occupied state housing under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. NACAC, Vice Chairman, concurred in by NACAC, Bradley, Miles, and McKinnon. Mr. Dankworth has no recommendation. House Concurrent Resolution 101 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 599, a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for a streetlight in Kodiak, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. NACAC, Vice Chairman, concurred in by NACAC, Miles, McKinnon, and Bradley. Dankworth has no recommendation. House Bill 599 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 695, eligibility of surviving spouses to claim service credit based on deceased husband's military and other service, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. NACAC, Vice Chairman, concurred in by NACAC, Bradley, Miles, McKinnon, and Dankworth. House Bill 695 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 712, issuance of GO bonds in the amount of $1,620,000 for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements to parks, waysides, trails, footpaths, and other recreational facilities, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 712 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Malone, Bennett, Smith, Urien, Akers, Miller, and Osterbach. Mr. Snyder has no recommendation. House Bill 712 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 728, a special appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for acquisition of a mobile dental clinic to serve residents of rural Alaska, under consideration. Five members of the committee recommend it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Duncan, Freeman, Haugen, and Guy. Mr. Rode has no recommendation. House Bill 728 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 810, Veterans Loans, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. NACAC, Vice Chairman, concurred in by NACAC, McKinnon, Dankworth, and Miles. Mr. Bradley has no recommendation. House Bill 810 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 838, relating to the North Slope Hall Road, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 838 and that it be reported back without recommendation. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Kelly, Lathine, McKinnon, and Miles. Signing due pass, Bradley. House Bill 838 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 878 relating to oil and gas taxes under consideration. The committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 878 and that it be reported back with individual recommendations. Report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman. Signing due pass, Snyder. Signing due pass if amended, Miller, Osterbach, Malone, and Bennett. Signing no recommendation, Smith and Akers. Signing do not pass, Urien. House Bill 878 has a further referral to Finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation commending the Chugiak High School wrestling team by Representatives Cotton, Kelly, Phillips, and Bradley. House Joint Resolution Number 73 by the Rules Committee by request, relating to the Alaska Power Authority, the Phase 1 Environmental, Economic, Social, and Engineering Studies of the Susitna Hydroelectric Project, and the incurring of indebtedness for Phase 1.
Refer to the Finance Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House Bills.
House Bill 935 by the Finance Committee, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the University of Alaska and providing for an effective date.
Refer to the Finance Committee.
House Bill 936 by the Commerce Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the Residential Electrical Energy Lifeline Rate Fund and providing for an effective date.
Refer to the Commerce Committee and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 937 by the Commerce Committee. An act providing lifeline electrical service to residential consumers of electrical energy and providing for an effective date.
Commerce and Finance.
House Bill 938 by the State Affairs Committee. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $119,479,173 for the purpose of paying the cost of airport improvements and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 939 with a transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Administration and providing for an effective date.
Refer to the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, could we have an at ease?
House, please stand at ease. We're down to consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I understand that some proposed amendments will be coming down for House Bill 87, which would ordinarily be the next item up on the calendar. In order not to delay the body waiting for those amendments to come down, I'll ask unanimous consent that...
Representative Miller,
yeah.
If I could interrupt you for a moment.
Sure.
House, please stand at ease. House, please come to order. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, apparently the amendment has arrived, but it's not duplicated yet. So in order to have it duplicated and made available to all members, I'll ask unanimous consent that the House Bill 87 be moved to the end of the calendar as it taken up before citation.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill number 621 by Miller and Duncan. An act relating to unemployment insurance coverage for employees of the state and its political subdivisions and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 621 under consideration. The committee reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman. Signing DuPass, Bradley and Kelly. Signing no recommendation, Lathine and Dankworth. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 621 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Bill 621 in third reading.
House Bill number 621 by Miller and Duncan. An act relating to unemployment insurance coverage for employees of the state and its political subdivisions and providing for an effective date.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, a brief explanation. Members will recall that last year in the 1977 session laws of Alaska, we passed Chapter 122, which is probably a good bill passed for bad reasons. It's a good bill in that it brought public employees, who I think are certainly deserving of unemployment compensation and unemployment insurance, under the state's unemployment compensation plan, just like any other employer in any other field of work. I say for bad reasons, and I guess the reason we did it is that the federal government required it. The federal government said that if you don't do this, if you don't put public employees under unemployment insurance, we're going to cut back on some social services and other dollars that you would otherwise receive. So we passed that legislation, Mr. Speaker, and as I say, we did the right thing. I think the federal government did it in probably a wrong way, but it was basically good legislation. But because of the tactics of the federal government, so to speak, I guess we put a provision on there. In the end, these would be the provisions that are being repealed by this legislation before us, that says, in effect, if any Supreme Court decision or appellate court decision that's not appealed, finds that the tactic of the federal government, that is withholding other monies, is unconstitutional, then the whole thing is repealed and we go back to square zero, and public employees are again not covered, although obviously all the employees in the non-public sector are covered. Well, Mr. Speaker, what this bill would do then is to remove that triggering device, and would say that even if the federal act that withholds those social dollars is found unconstitutional. Nevertheless, public employees will continue, as they have been now since the passage of this bill, to be served under unemployment insurance. I might add, Mr. Speaker, that this is no special deal for public employees. Right now, they're contributing just like non-public employees contribute, at the same rate that non-public employees are paying. So it's just a recognition of the fact that these people are just like anybody else. They're deserving of that coverage, so that if they do get laid off, for no reason of their own or no fault of their own, they would be covered under the unemployment compensation laws of the state.
Representative Freeman,
may we have a brief at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. House Bill 621 is before the House in third reading. Is there further discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 621 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
36 yeas, 1 nay, 3 excused.
And so House Bill 621 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 621 be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill number 860 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to mopeds. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 860 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 860 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, Vice Chairman, concurring by Miles, Brown, Rudd, and Eliason. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Is Clerk of Amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 860 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read House Bill 860 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 860 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to mopeds.
House Bill 860 is before the House, third reading. Representative Miles.
Just a brief explanation, Mr. Speaker. This bill allows mopeds to be sold in Alaska, those little critters that pedal along about 20 to 25 miles an hour. The difference between the original bill and the committee substitute is essentially that we prohibited use of mopeds on bike paths and also allowed the Commissioner of Public Safety to prohibit use of mopeds on certain specific highways.
Is there further discussion? Representative Hayes.
Question, Mr. Speaker, of Representative Miles. Was there any comment from public safety on this bill?
No.
Representative Miles. Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, question through the chair to the prime sponsor. Does the helmet law, would that apply? And then number two, are we likely to see packs of mopeders like some of the bikers we've had, motorcyclists we've had problems with?
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No, the helmet law doesn't apply, and the packs of moped riders would probably be only in District 8.
Representative Kelly.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I think I have a problem. We're saying that it's not nearly as dangerous as a motorcycle, so you don't have to wear your helmet. But on the other hand, we're forcing him to drive out in the street with this little underpowered moped that can't go more than 30 miles an hour. We're not letting him drive on a bike path. And somehow this doesn't seem right to me. We're forcing him out in the street, but we don't have to wear helmets, and it can only go 30 miles an hour, but they can't go on the bike path. I don't like that part about not being able to ride on the bike path. I wouldn't see a moped as any danger on a bike path.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, if members think that there's a controversy involved in the use of particular paths between, say, cross-country skiers and snowmobilers, they ain't seen nothing yet compared to bicyclers versus mopeds on a bike path. Because, as a matter of fact, the mopeds do represent a serious hazard. Bear in mind that an awful lot of bike paths have heavy use, very heavy use, by young children, particularly in these recreational bike paths. And I've enjoyed the use of them in Anchorage, for instance, where you've got a fine network of bike paths. The best you can do on a general rule on a bicycle is go 10 to 12 miles an hour. Now, certainly if you're a professional racer, you can do more than that, and you can do it for long periods of time. But for those of us that are recreational bicyclists, our average speed is probably around 10 miles an hour. Bear in mind, too, that most of the bike paths in Alaska are not particularly wide. You have a situation where you've got a couple of zoomers coming by at 30 miles an hour, passing up people going by at 10 miles an hour. It not only takes all the enjoyment out of it, there's a substantial safety hazard involved, too, a very substantial safety hazard. But in addition, there's a real lack of enjoyment in the thing. Two, bear in mind that a lot of these bike paths that are used in Alaska are used in the wintertime by cross-country skiers. I think the opening up of those paths to motorized traffic would certainly open up those same lanes then in the wintertime to strong possibility that at least some of the smaller snowmobiles, the small-powered snowmobiles, might be able to use those same bike paths when the cross-country skiers use them. And that, believe me, is a very hot political situation as well as a hot safety situation. The bill specifically recognizes that mopeds can be used on the highway, but it also says that the Commissioner of Public Safety can designate highways where these shouldn't be used. Now, there are undoubtedly some, freeway-type, limited-access areas where a 30-mile-an-hour vehicle should not be used. On the other hand, there are few, if any, regular highways where a 30-mile-an-hour vehicle should not be used. As a matter of fact, right now, bicycles themselves are legal on all of these highways, and bicyclers make good use of them. So this is a very wise provision that the Judiciary Committee put into the bill, and I would certainly hope that we would keep it.
Representative Brown?
Addressing the wisdom of the Judiciary Committee, we put in that very wise provision at the behest of the Majority Leader. But Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, I have no difficulty with this problem. I think you can just get on a moped and pretend it's a 1949 Volkswagen, you won't have any problem. And as far as Mr. Bradley's inquiry was concerned, I didn't understand why he was asking the question of the sponsor of the bill, since his committee is the sponsor of the bill. I still haven't figured that out yet.
Further discussion? Representative Rudd?
Mr. Speaker, I guess I should have known that this would come up, and I should have looked it up. Mr. Kelly mentioned that we're forcing people to wear helmets. My memory tells me that in 1976 we removed the requirement that people on motorcycles wear helmets, and I'm assuming that provision also applies to mopeds. Perhaps someone can correct me if I'm wrong.
Page 2, lines 1 and 2. Representative Dankworth?
Mr. Speaker, to Mr. Bradley, perhaps, I do have a problem that this bill involving children using the highways on these type of things has never, apparently I haven't heard any testimony that the Department of Public Safety in its two committee referrals were ever contacted or testified on this, and it would be helpful to me, I know as a representative having to vote on this, if I knew how or what considerations were given by public safety before we voted that out. Now, I wasn't there, apparently, so perhaps public safety did appear at State Affairs, so I'd ask that question of Mr. Bradley.
Representative Bradley.
Ms. Speaker, I don't think G. Ken Edwards likes the bill. That I was trying to be silly. To be serious, the committee simply introduced the bill. I know nothing about it.
Representative Urien. Clerk, please read the proposed amendment.
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Urien. Page 1, line 21. After the second mopeds, insert, comma, with lighted headlamps, comma.
Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, the purpose of this amendment is to make a moped that's on the highway visible. You know, as a driver, many times I've been unable to see a motorcycle when it's coming. You know how you look around and you get ready to pull out in the lane of traffic, and lo and behold, here comes somebody zipping by on a motorcycle. And you note how much more visible they are with a headlamp on during the daytime. And the purpose of this amendment is that if they're on the highways, to have the headlight on at all times.
Representative Cotton.
Hey, Mr. Speaker, perhaps that's a good amendment, and Mr. Urien is undoubtedly right that it'd be a lot easier to see the mopeds if they had a headlight. But I wonder if there aren't other safety requirements we may want to impose here, like taillights and rearview mirrors and other things like that. Perhaps that's already done by regulation. That's my guess. But it seems like maybe a good idea, but it might not be going far enough.
Yeah. Is there Representative Swanson?
Well, Mr. Speaker, thinking about a safety factor, if these mini mini bikes are going to be off the bicycle path and put out in the middle of the 60 mile an hour traffic versus a 10 mile an hour bicyclist versus a 60 mile an hour automobile, then I think we should leave the mopeds back on the bicycle trails.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking of the amendment, I don't know if it does any good really to put a headlight on a moped and require that during the day. That just doesn't seem to make much sense. What we're essentially talking about here is a bicycle with a small motor, and they only weigh 75 to 80 pounds. I just don't think the amendment is necessary. If we're talking about highway driving, I suspect that the major roadways in the state will be prohibited in this.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I think that if we're specifically giving the commissioner the power to prohibit the operation of mopeds on highways where it would be a problem, then certainly he has under this bill and under other law already on the books the power to make reasonable regulations regarding safety. So I don't know if this amendment really belongs in the bill. I would oppose the amendment on the basis that this can be done by regulation, probably in a much more comprehensive way.
The question is, shall House Bill 860 be returned to second reading for the purposes of adopting a specific amendment, which is Amendment Number 1? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll. Representative Freeman? Clerk, please take the roll.
Eighteen yeas, 19 nays, 3 excused.
So the motion to return the bill to second reading has not been adopted. Clerk, of further proposed amendments to the legislation?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further discussion?
Question.
Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, I am simply not going to vote for this bill. What we're doing, and I'm not thinking in terms of our major highways. No kid in a moped's going to get out on a major highway. But I'm thinking in terms of Muldoon Road and DeBar Road in my own district. And if we don't allow these 14-year-old kids on these fragile little bicycles that can only go 30 miles an hour to use the bike paths, we're forcing that kid out into a heavily trafficked stream of cars, and that's flat dangerous, and I'm simply not going to support the bill.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 860 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Twenty-six yeas, 11 nays, 3 excused.
So House Bill 860 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Answer what Kelly's saying. Is that the municipality can just say you can't have mopeds on that street? And they go on the back street.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 97, Judiciary amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to security interests under the Uniform Commercial Code and providing for an effective date.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, the body will remember this bill is in third reading after my reconsideration had been brought up on Friday, and I asked to hold it while I obtained some information from one of the Alaska members of the Uniform Law Commissioners. In the interim, I have been satisfied that there's not a problem of uniformity here. There is something of a not very troublesome lack of uniformity among the states in this way. Anyway, there are variations among the states, and it doesn't vary in a wide way from the usual commercial practices. And that was all that I wanted to assure myself of. So I do urge the body to approve it a second time and pass it on to the Senate.
Further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Bill 97 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll. Representative Greening. Clerk, please take the roll.
Thirty-six yeas, 2 nays, 2 excused.
So House Bill 97 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on committee substitute for House Bill 97 be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Joint Resolution Number 57 by Rudd, Meekins, and Miller, requesting the designation of America the Beautiful as the national anthem. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Joint Resolution 57 under consideration. The committee reports it back as follows. It reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Nackack, Vice Chairman. Signing no recommendation, Dankworth, Lethine, and Miles. Signing do pass, Nackack. Mr. Kelly signed do not pass till the twilight's last gleaming. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please read First Amendment.
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Kelly. Page 1, line 16. After the words, reflects the conditions and goals of the American people, delete lines 18 through 22 and add the following. O. MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on
the,
that...
House, please stand at ease.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Joint Resolution Number 57 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read House Joint Resolution 57 in third reading.
House Joint Resolution Number 57 by Rudd, Meekins, and Miller, requesting the designation of America the Beautiful as the national anthem.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, there does seem to be a lot of amusement about this this resolution, but I'm very serious about it. And what's more, in the course of researching this whole idea, I've come across a lot of information that I'd like to share with the members of the House now, in the hope, of course, of persuading you that it is a good idea. The first thing I learned when I got the idea that America the Beautiful should be our national anthem rather than the Star-Spangled Banner was that it was only in 1931 that the Star-Spangled Banner became our national anthem. Evidently, before that, we had no national anthem. I had always assumed that the Star-Spangled Banner was encrusted with many generations of tradition in this nation, but in fact, it's only been our national anthem for 47 years, less than a quarter of our nation's history. I believe, and many other people believe, that we made a mistake when we designated the Star-Spangled Banner as our national anthem. It is a stirring tune, I think solely because it's our national anthem. It does have the capacity to send chills up all of our spines because we are all people who love our country. But in fact, it's not a good tune. It's neither martial nor lyrical, which our national anthem should be one of. It should be a martial tune, a good stirring martial tune, or a very nice lyrical tune. Star-Spangled Banner is neither. It's impossible to sing well, as we all know to our sorrow, both personally and because we've all listened to very fine singers try to sing it well, and I've never heard one sing it well yet. What's more, the tune, the words are American, but the tune is not even an American tune. It's an old English drinking song that was written in about 1799 and was adopted by Francis Scott Key or someone else close to him. I think he wrote the words to the Star-Spangled Banner with the tune in mind. The name of the tune originally was To Anacreon in Heaven. And I don't know what that means, but it is an English tune. The Star-Spangled Banner commemorates war. And although we have had many fine acts of Americans during wartime, it's never been something that our nation has been particularly proud of or wanted to emphasize in our national history. What's more, it commemorates a war that took place in 1812 against a nation that has been our ally practically ever since that time, our closest ally, England. The third verse of the Star-Spangled Banner has some very mean and nasty things to say about our enemy of that time, England, which is now our ally and has been for many years. As an aside, I'll tell you that I've also learned that Francis Scott Key, I always assumed that he was a prisoner of war when he wrote the Star-Spangled Banner. In fact, he wasn't. He was a lawyer trying to obtain release of a couple of people who had been imprisoned by the British, and the reason that those people had been imprisoned by the British was because they had caused the imprisonment of some drunken English sailors in Baltimore. So he was not a prisoner of war, he was a lawyer. I thought I'd throw that in because of the high esteem in which lawyers are held in this house. In 1930, when the first proposal came about to name the Star-Spangled Banner our national anthem, the Music Supervisors National Conference, which was composed of over 7,000 American music educators, passed a resolution. They said they, quote, had been informed that a bill is being considered by Congress which would make the Star-Spangled Banner our national anthem, and recognizing its legitimate place as one of our historic patriotic songs, they passed the resolution saying that the adoption of the Star-Spangled Banner, quote, would signify to our people and to the people of the world a unique endorsement of this song as embodying the ideals of our nation. And further, that, quote, the text is a reflection of a single wartime event which cannot fully represent the spirit of a nation committed to peace and goodwill. And further, quote, the music, while thrilling when well sung on occasions of high patriotic fervor, is not suitable for frequent singing in assemblages where a national anthem is needed. That was in 1930, before the original designation of America the Beautiful as our national anthem. I believe that all the musicians that I've talked to, except legislators who are also musicians, agree with this interpretation, and I believe most musicians would take the same stand today. Mr. Speaker, we have available to us an American tune and an American poem which expresses the scenic beauty, the bountiful nature of our agriculture, the continental nature of the nation, the ideals of our nation. It's available to us, it's singable, and it's all American. And I think it's time for us to really seriously think about adopting it as our national anthem. It was written by Catherine, the poem was written by Catherine Lee Bates in about 1890, probably, maybe close to 1900. It was set to music by Samuel Ward. There is a small but growing national movement to name America the Beautiful our national anthem. I've been delighted to find that I'm not at all alone in this crusade. I have copies of newspaper articles from Long Beach, California to Washington, D.C., suggesting that the change be made. About 2 weeks ago, I learned that there's a woman in Vermont who has persuaded her own local city council to adopt a resolution urging the change, and she went on national television. Evidently, the national television people got hold of her, and as a result, she's received letters from over 13,000 Americans all across the country urging her and requesting copies of petitions to be signed to make the change. And in fact, Mr. Speaker, she's heard from 45 people in Alaska. They include people from Sitka and Fairbanks and Auk Bay and Juneau and Anchorage. I didn't know about her until 2 weeks ago, so I'm not in touch with those 45 people, but I know for a fact that there are more people in Alaska who are interested in this, because it's a true statement that every single person to whom I've talked about this issue, except for legislators, endorses it. I haven't talked to a single private citizen who does not say it's a great idea. In fact, when I spoke to a woman in Anchorage this summer, that I know casually, when I mentioned it to her, she said, "I'd vote for it, and Francis Scott Key is one of my ancestors." So I was really impressed with that. I thought, you don't want to know that. I don't know whether I'd vote against something that was my great-great-grandfather's or something. The only group that I'm aware of in Alaska that has taken a stand on this is the Anchorage Secondary Music Curriculum Committee, and they do endorse the change. The most important reason for making America the Beautiful our national anthem is that it does express our best hopes and highest ideals for our nation. If the Star-Spangled Banner, as awkward and as militaristic as it is, can send chills up our spine, then America the Beautiful, if it were to become our national anthem, could do even more. In fact, it already does for a lot of people, I guess. Music, and this is why I think this is an important thing and not just something to be laughed at, music has the capability of touching our deepest emotions and inspiring our best actions. That's why I think it's important to have a national anthem that does emphasize the very best that this nation is capable of. It seems to me that it's especially important today, post-Watergate, post-Vietnam War, that we as a nation restate and reaffirm our national ideals. The simplest, the best way to do that would be to name America the Beautiful our national anthem. We don't have to appoint a big nationwide group of eminent scholars to restate our ideals for us. We need only to read the words of America the Beautiful. O beautiful for spacious skies, for amber ways of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. O beautiful for pilgrim feet whose stern impassioned stress a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. O beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. O beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I would assure Mrs. Rudd that I do not think it a matter of levity. I am certainly do not consider it something to be taken very lightly. Mr. Speaker, the resolution says that Congress adopted this less than a half a century ago, and Mrs. Rudd has told us when. But I think that ignores the fact, Mr. Speaker, that this was our national anthem a long time before Congress, in its usual slow way, got around to making it official. To me, I think it's associated with Shiloh and Vicksburg and Antietam and Gettysburg, with Tarawa, Iwo Jima, Guadalcanal, the Battle of the Bulge, the Coral Sea. Mr. Speaker, there are a lot of nice songs, a lot of very beautiful songs that are very patriotic. God Bless America, Columbia, the Gem of the Ocean, and, of course, the one she just mentioned, which is a beautiful song, and which I like, America the Beautiful. I don't think that substitutes. Mr. Speaker, I'd also like to mention, Mrs. Rudd said that it deals with war, and this is not something we've been very proud of. I suppose, Mr. Speaker, it depends on your viewpoint. I think most Americans are proud of most of the wars they've been engaged in because they thought they were right. Nobody likes war, but there are times there are other things that are worse. And I would point out, Mr. Speaker, that in the Star Spangled Banner and in the last stanza, which very few people ever sing, "Oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace. May the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation." The song does not glorify war. It only glorifies war as a means of keeping us a free and peaceful nation.
Further discussion. Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Joint Resolution number 57 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Twelve yeas, 25 nays, 3 excused.
So House Joint Resolution number 57 has failed to pass the House. Representative Bradley?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to serve notice of my vote on HJR 57.
Clerk, please note Representative Bradley's notice of reconsideration of his vote on House Joint Resolution number 57. Representative Miller?
Speaker, may I please stand at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, according to the motion I made earlier, we would now be taking up committee substitute for House Bill 87. However, members have expressed an interest in holding that over one legislative day in order to have a chance to look at the amendments and the proposed amendments and see if they're satisfactory. So I'll move at this time that House Bill 87 be taken from today's calendar and placed on tomorrow's calendar in second reading.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please. Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, can we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Hearing no objection, revert to introduction of guests. Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, as we well know by reading the books and going to the movies, the term Godfather has been in vogue in the last couple of years, and I guess that comes from a tradition of that we're all aware of when we have kids. I don't have a godfather to introduce, Ms. Speaker. However, I do have a godmother of our second child, Dieter Bradley, Deanna Bradley. She's married to a fine attorney. Uh, is uh, She's a fine housewife in her own right, probably a little bit smarter than her husband at that. Mrs. Kathy Garnett in Gallery B.
Are there further guests for introduction? Now we'll continue with the regular order of business. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Citation commending the participants in the Muscular Dystrophy Dance Marathon by Representatives Duncan and Miller.
Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, I've had several requests from members to show this is being sponsored by all members of the House, and I would so move at this time.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted, and the citation will be shown as sponsored by all members of the House. Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, I would move approval of the citation.
Hearing no objection, citation is approved. Records show the citation was approved unanimously. Brings the end of today's calendar down to unfinished business. Representative Athene. Clerk, please note Representative Lathine's notice of reconsideration of his vote on House Bill 621. Under unfinished business, membership is aware that there is a joint session scheduled for tomorrow for confirmation due to the fact that we have received additional names from the governor for consideration by the legislature. A message was sent to the Senate this morning asking them to meet in joint session, not tomorrow, but 1 week from tomorrow, to allow for time for consideration of the additional names. And our journal will reflect that message to the Senate. So there will not be a joint session tomorrow at 2 p.m. for the purposes of confirming or not confirming the appointments by the governor. So further unfinished business to come before the House. Representative Swanson.
I'd like to be excused from a call on Thursday and Friday of this week.
Hearing no objection, we'll consider that a motion, Representative Swanson. Hearing no objection, motion to excuse Representative Swanson from the call on Thursday and Friday this week is adopted. Further unfinished business? Special orders. Are there any special orders? Announce, Representative Dankworth.
Just a brief one, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to tell the House that last Friday we passed a citation commending Mrs. Cindy Roberts of Anchorage and her participation in the Mrs. America pageant, which was nationally televised and everything. They held that contest yesterday, and I'm pleased to say that Mrs. Roberts was selected as Mrs. America for 1978.
Are there any more special orders? Announcements, committee meetings. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Subsistence Committee will conclude its teleconference hearing today. We'll start in at 12:30 promptly, Courtroom A, to continue receiving comments on House Bill 673, which would create a Division of Subsistence in the Department of Fish and Game, and House Bill 674 and House Bill 725, which would regionalize and unify the boards of fish and game. At 7 p.m., a workshop is scheduled to act on four bills dealing with subsistence. They are House Bill 673, 674, 725, and 772, all dealing with the subject of subsistence. That will be in the Labor and Management Committee Room, Room 207, in the Assembly. That's at 7 p.m. tonight, and we have people from throughout the state who are regarded as experts in the field of the discussion on subsistence will be helping us work out the language in some of the bills that may be construed as controversial. Thank you.
Representative Gardner.
Judiciary Committee will meet at 3 o'clock today on House Bill 456, Contributory Retirement System for Judges, House Bill 615, Rural Property Insurance, and House Bill 784, Jurisdiction of Magistrates.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, tomorrow morning the House Labor Management Committee will clean up the coffee cups left by the Subsistence Committee.
and consider in our committee room the proposed committee substitute for House Bill 550 relating to unemployment compensation, and also we hope we'll have further information that's been requested from the Department of Labor regarding that bill, and we'll also deal with a request originating from some of the members of the committee.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, House State Affairs 115 will be having an informational meeting on capital move legislation, and additionally a point of information to the members, those people who are interested in their legislation that now resides in State Affairs, please see me or copy my office with a memo.
Representative Miles.
At 1:30 today in the Governor's Conference Room, Mr. Speaker, the House Royalty Oil and Gas, in conjunction with the Senate liaisons, will be meeting with representatives from Northwest Alaska to talk about their financing plan.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, Hess will meet at 3 this afternoon. House Bills 896 and 897, both dealing with emergency medical services. And, Mr. Speaker, the Free Conference Committee on House Bill 780 will be meeting at 8 o'clock on tomorrow morning in room 112.
Representative Osterbeck.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Excuse me. House Resource Committee will meet today at 1:30 p.m. in room 118, taking up Senate Bill 428, interim use permits, House Bill 887, Funny River Wayside, House Bill 779, sport fishing methods, House Bill 798, bonding of fishing processors.
Representative Cooper.
Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet at 1:15 to take up House Bill 722 on science and technology, and after we're through with that, I believe there will be a subcommittee meeting on the Alaska Power Authority.
Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, Budget and Audit Committee will meet at noon today in Senate Finance.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, could we revert to introduction of guests?
Hearing no objection, revert to introduction of guests. Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, a constituent of mine and Mrs. Buchholz and a good friend of Representative Swanson, Pat Brackey.
Further guests for introduction? Now we'll continue with the regular order of business. Are there further announcements? Further business to come before the House? Representative Miller.
Several items, Mr. Speaker. I'll ask unanimous consent that Representative Greening be excused from the call of the House April 22nd, 21st through 24th.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Member will be excused on the dates indicated.
And, Mr. Speaker, that Representative Bradley be excused from the call of the House this Thursday and Friday.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The member will be excused on the dates indicated.
Mr. Speaker, and that Representative Snyder be excused from the call April 21st through 24th.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The member will be excused on the dates indicated.
Mr. Speaker, I've been asked to remind members that the Governor's Prayer Breakfast will be held May 3rd, but reservations have been held in our name until April 19th, so that if you don't have your tickets yet and want to be sure to be able to attend that function, you should take your $10 check payable to the Governor's Prayer Breakfast and take it up to Marie Pignalberry in the Governor's office. And that should be in by the 19th. After that, the spaces will be available to the public, and because of the national nature of the individual who's going to be speaking at that breakfast, they'll probably be pretty hard to get. So I'll serve this as a bit of a reminder to the group. Mr. Speaker, if there's nothing further to come before the body, I'll ask unanimous consent to stand adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, House is adjourned.